songs. I've never heard those songs before. So praise the Lord. Well, that was a blessing. I'm going to say just a few words tonight. I want you, if you have a Bible there, if you're not, there's one in the pew, from Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to read there in just a moment. Man, I enjoyed that. You know, I just really did. Thank you. That was good. That was really good. And I appreciated it. So, I guess you heard, I mean, you really heard the Christmas story in the first two-thirds of that cantata. I mean, that was Christmas. And we celebrate Christmas because it's when Jesus came into the world and we celebrate his birth. And, of course, I mentioned this morning we're nowhere commanded to celebrate the birth of the Savior, but then not even commanded to remember the birth of the Savior. But we do it because we're almost compelled to do so, because without the birth of the Savior, there really is no Savior at all. So we sing and we celebrate about the birth of our Lord. Some people prefer not to say Merry Christmas. I'll be honest, I like to say Merry Christmas. I like to hear people say Merry Christmas. And I'm glad our current president has said we're going to say Merry Christmas again, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to say Merry Christmas again. So I say Merry Christmas to you. Most people, I suppose you're in a church service tonight. If I were to ask you where Jesus was born, most of you probably would have said he was born in Bethlehem. And if I would have asked a second question, given an Old Testament reference that prophesies where that was going to take place in Bethlehem, probably the majority could have said Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, that was prophesied. And you would be right with all of that. There is no question that Jesus was born. There's no question where he was born. The Bible's very clear on those things. He was born, and he was born in Bethlehem. This is the event that people had been looking forward to. This is the event that the Jews especially were looking for their Messiah. And of course, the Bible said he came unto his own. That was, Jesus came unto the Jewish people, but his own received him not. They didn't receive him or recognize him as the Messiah. He came unto his own received him not, but to them that did come to know him, he gave them the power or the authority to become the sons of God. And so he was born, they were looking for him. And then I want to say a few things. Why did he come? Why did Jesus come? Did he come so that we can have a day each year where we can get our children around a nice Christmas tree and everybody can open presents and share all kinds of presents and give away all kinds of presents and get together with friends and relatives? Is that really why he came? No, that's not why he came. Is it so you could have an extra day off of work or an extra day off of college or an extra day off of school and just have a little vacation time at the end of the year? No, that's not why he came. Is it so you could have, you know, the economy stimulated? You notice how often the news mentions that almost every night. Well, the realtors are having a good year, the realtors aren't having a good year, whatever. Did Jesus really come to stimulate the economy anywhere around the world? No, that's not why he came. So people maybe can have more parties and maybe participate in sin. Is that why he came? No, that's obviously not why he came. None of those things are the reason Jesus came. He came for a few reasons, but I will say he primarily came to die and pay the debt that sin required. Now, if you're in Isaiah chapter 53, I'm only going to read a little bit of this chapter, but let me begin in verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is, laid on Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, and shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide with a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressions. Jesus had to be born. The Messiah had to come because we owed a debt for our sin that we could not pay. And because we could not pay it, the Bible says the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He paid a debt. You ought to think of it like this. Jesus paid a debt that he didn't owe. We owed a debt that we could not pay. Many people are valued because of the life they live. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. Jesus is valued not for his life so much as he is for his death. His death, through which God and man are reconciled, he's the world's redeemer and savior. And in in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus spoke of his death as absolutely necessary. He said in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about when he would be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life, pointing to the cross. Now, let me ask you one other question. I'm going to give you a few thoughts on this, and then I'll be finished. What made it necessary for him to be born? With the primary purpose that he was born to die. What made that so necessary? Let me give you a few thoughts. First of all, the holiness of God made it necessary. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 13 says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. God hates sin. God can't even look on sin. And canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? The holiness of God demands that sin be punished. Now, though God chose the costliest means to deliver us from our sins by sending his own Son, we may be sure that nothing short of him could have purchased our redemption and satisfied the just demands of God. Now, when I say that phrase, Jesus satisfied, that's what Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11 and 12 talks about. Jesus satisfies the just demands of God when he gave himself a sacrifice on the cross, when he died and shed his blood for our sins and God's righteousness. God is holy, and the holiness of God demanded it. God's holiness made the Lord's death necessary. He is so pure, and he is so holy, that we can't even describe it. Now, I like the snow. I like to look out on a morning after a night's snowfall, and it's just as white, and it's just as pure, and it looks beautiful. And when you look out, and if you happen to go out in the woods on those snowy days when the trees are all covered, I mean, it's just a beautiful sight. And that's what I think of, just perfectly pure and holy. That's God. That's what he is. And his holiness made the Lord's death necessary. He can't look on iniquity. Secondly, not only did his holiness make it necessary, the love of the God made it necessary. 1 John says it like this, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. John wrote this, for God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved. And what is it that he gave? The Bible says he gave his only begotten Son. The word begotten means the only one of its kind. There is nobody like Jesus. He is the only sinless person that ever lived. God, there wasn't a lot of people that, well, Jesus couldn't do it, so we'll get a replacement. There's no replacements. He's the only begotten Son of God. That's who he is. And that's what God gave us. The word in John 3 sticks, it says, so. For God so loved. Most of the time you don't hear a lot about that little two-letter word, so. But it indicates intensity. His love was so intense, its pressure was so great, that of necessity burst the bonds of the Godhead and poured itself in what you might call lavish fullness upon the lost and ruined world. Love of God made his Son's death necessary. So I want you to keep these somewhat in your mind because I'm going to review them in a moment. His holiness made it necessary. His love for man made it necessary, and the sin of mankind made it necessary. My sin and your sin made it necessary for Jesus to come and die on a cross. Peter said it like this, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. It was our lost, strayed condition that made our Lord's death necessary. This was the thing that caused Christ to leave the portals of heaven. That's where he was. He wasn't satisfied just to stay in heaven with all the glory that he had, and he had it with his Father before the world was, with all the adoration he got from the angels because they were there, with while men remained estranged from God, lost because of the fall and because of the sin of mankind. The sin of man made it necessary that Jesus come to die. Now, we must see sin, as the Bible describes it, as something that brings the wrath of God upon us. You say, well, we don't deserve the wrath of God. I'm here to tell you, beloved, we deserve the wrath of God. I deserve the wrath of God, and you deserve the wrath of God, and it is only by God's grace and God's mercy that we all don't get that. That is what we deserve. And we got to see sin like the Bible sees sin, as guilt that needs to be gotten rid of, as crime that deserves to be punished. Until we see sin as God sees sin, we won't see the need of a Savior, and we won't see the need of his redeeming work. The phrase, unto you is born this day. You know what? That'll have very little meaning to you if you don't understand the sinfulness of mankind. So your sin made the Lord's death necessary. Fourthly, the fulfillment of Scripture made it necessary. I want you, to those of you that have your Bible, to look with me in Luke chapter 24. I flipped right to it. I can't believe it. This isn't even my Bible. My wife's Bible. I'd take hers. Let me say this to our church people. Don't take my Bible. I had my sword up here this morning, and I don't know where it went. I left it on the pulpit. My Bible's gone. The pulpit's even gone. All right? So don't take off. It's camouflage, all right? It's got my name in it. So it's obviously, I can't see it because it's camouflage, but I'll recognize it, all right? Anyway, Luke 24, are you there? Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? The prophets had already spoken about that. That is the Old Testament prophets. And so Jesus had to fulfill the prophecy. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus went way back to Moses, and all the Old Testament prophets and could talk to the people there about himself. Now, if Jesus were the true Messiah, then those predictions of his suffering and death had to be fulfilled in him. And guess what? They were. The scriptures of redemption, of a redeemer, must be fulfilled. The Bible is God's word. And what this Bible says is true, and everything it says concerning the Messiah has to come to pass, and it did in Jesus. Fifthly, and this will be my last point, the purpose of God made it necessary. You say, what was the purpose of God? To redeem man back to himself. To draw sinners to himself. To take lost mankind and have a way of salvation for them. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, it says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. In Revelation 13:8 it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Quite honestly, this was God's plan from the foundation of the world. It was God's plan to save lost mankind and draw them back to himself. Now, since there is nobody good enough to pay the price of sin, I'm not. You're not. God's plan of redemption was that Christ be the substitute for sinners. So here's what Jesus did. He went to a cross and he took my place. And he went to a cross and he took your place. He took every sinner's place. That's what Jesus did. The holiness of God and the love of God, the sinfulness of man, together with God's promise and purpose of redemption, make the death of Jesus necessary. So we know where he came from. We know he came from Bethlehem. We know why he came. He came to die and rescue sinners from their sin. We know the way he came. He came unlike any other person ever came. You heard about that in the cantata tonight. He came supernaturally born of a virgin, impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God. Nobody has ever had that happen before. Nobody will ever have that happen in the future. He had no sinful nature. Jesus never committed a sin. He was born of a virgin. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost. That's an act of God. And so he came to Bethlehem by way of a virgin so he could be the Savior of the world. And so we celebrate Christmas. And I think we had a wonderful cantata tonight. I always enjoy Christmas music. And a lot of that Christmas music tonight I've never heard before. We worship him and we adore him. He is our Savior. He is the Lord Jesus. Now let me ask you a question. If I were to come to you right now, and I'm not going to, but if I were to come to you right now and ask you for a Bible reason, how, when, why you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, could you give me a biblically accurate answer? Could I say, write your testimony out for me on a piece of paper, please, how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ? I've asked people to do that. I had one lady that sat there, and her pencil went to the paper, and it never moved. And then she looked at me, and she looked down, and she looked at me. You know what I found out? She couldn't give one. You know why? She wasn't saved. She wasn't a child of God. She had no biblical testimony of her salvation. If not, would you like to meet Jesus tonight? Do you know for sure, 100% sure, that your sins are forgiven? They're washed in the blood. The Lord has cleansed you. Now listen, just because Jesus died for them does not mean that you have accepted his payment. You have to accept his payment. He paid your sin debt. But if you don't accept his payment, you've got to accept it yourself. You say, well, what's that mean? What am I going to have to do? Well, you're never going to end up in heaven, I can tell you that. Well, you got one other alternative. That's in hell. Initially in the lake of fire, eventually. So all you can really do is accept Christ's payment because you can't do anything to earn it. You must believe what he did to pay your sin debt. Now, I've given you several biblical facts tonight. I said the Bible is true. I said God is holy. Jesus is the Savior of the world who died and buried and was rose again, and that he paid your sin debt because that was the problem. Now, let me try to paint a picture for you. I want you to think about over here, and I don't care what side. Over here, we're going to say this is God. Pretend you can see white snow, perfect, pure, holy, without spot, without blemish, without a black dot, without not even a little gray dot anywhere on it. That's God. And over here, you paint a picture of yourself. You can make it dirty. You can make it black. You can, whatever you picture is sinful and evil and wicked. That's where we are, okay? So over here is a holy God, and over here is a sinful man. God is holy, but we are sinful, and that's the problem. And that has caused us to be separated. Well, there's one bridge between God and man, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you expect to have your sins forgiven, you have to get on that bridge, and you have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's have every head bowed and every eye closed and no one looking around. If you, who are sinners, and if cannot give a biblical testimony, and you are not 100% sure tonight that your sins are forgiven, if you will tonight, when the pianist plays here in just a moment, come forward. Everybody else is praying for you. All Christians are praying. Someone will take a Bible and explain to you, here's how you call upon the name of the Lord. Here's how you, sinful man, and a holy God reconcile. Here's how you believe upon the name of the Lord to the salvation of your soul. Here's how you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's how your sins are forgiven. Excuse me. If you'd like to do that tonight, Faith, go ahead and start playing softly, please. If you would like to do that tonight, you come. Jesus came to die. The holiness of God made it necessary. The sinfulness of man made it necessary. The love of God made it necessary because God loves you. For God so loved the world, you're part of the world. And if you would turn to him in repentance and faith, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I agree with what your word says. And I come to you in full belief. He'll save your soul. Would you come tonight and let someone take a Bible and show you what it is to know Christ as your Savior? Jesus really is the only way for sinners to be reconciled to God. Would you come? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come? Quite honestly, it's hard for me to believe that in a large crowd, it's hard for me to believe that anymore in a small crowd, that everybody is a genuine believer. If you're not absolutely sure, and you're, for whatever reason, you don't want to step out of your pew right now, you come and see me. I'll be hanging around here after the service, and I'll be glad to take the Bible myself and show you how you can have your sins forgiven, how you can be saved, and how you can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it. There's nothing you can do to pay your sin debt. Well, preacher, I'm not that bad. Yeah, you are. Let me just say a few things. Will we receive an offering for our church family tonight if you would come? Some ushers if our church folks, if you didn't get a chance to give your tithes and gifts and offerings, could I have a couple ushers, please? And you give your tithes and offerings tonight. Brother Bill?